And I think this is really beautiful, because if you look at what, I don't want us to leave here with the idea that, okay, you know, the Word of God, I don't want it to be a burden. His Word is not a burden. Look what Nehemiah told them. Now, look at these words in verse 10. Go eat the fat and drink the sweet. Now, any dietitian will tell you the man is out of his mind. It got to be a low fat or no fat, and it got to be sugar-free or no sugar. He's saying, go eat the fat and drink the sweet. Listen, this is what every man craves. That's what you crave. If you could eat as much sweet as possible and as much fat as possible, you would be very happy. Not only that, the fat and the sugar are addictive. They are. You cannot stop them. You always wanted to go to them. So the Word of God is the same way. Now I'm talking about the spiritual man. You see, there is joy in there, because you want to eat the sweet and you want to eat the fat, go to the Word of God. That is where is the sweet and the fat is. And it is very addictive. If you go to it, you will go to it again and you will go to it again. I wish we would be a book addict. There is drug addicts. I wish we are book addict, that we are into that book. We could not get enough of it. We go to it over and over and over. And if we don't read it, we get a withdrawal symptoms. I wish we are like that when it comes to the Word of God. To eat the fat. To drink the sweet. To enjoy, to find joy in the Word of God. How many times you read the scripture and say, man, I never seen that before. This is beautiful. And you find joy in your heart. Or, I have to read a few verses before I go to sleep. There is joy in the Word of God. David wrote Psalm 119. He took every letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And he just used every one of them to speak about the Word of God. There is joy in the Word of God. That's one impact. The second impact that David was speaking about in verse 13. Having read the Word of God, you know what? They became addicts now. They're becoming bad again. They wanted to say, and I want to read verse 13 from Darby, because it's really interesting how he said it. They came back that, and on the second day were gathered together the chief fathers, all of the people, the priest and the Levite, to Ezra the scribe. Even, look at that, to gain wisdom as to the words of the law. To gain wisdom. You need wisdom? They went back again and said, now, we got the sweetness, we got the fat, we're happy. People who read the Bible are happy people. They're not miserable people. You see people reading the Bible and they're like, have a song. No! People who read the Bible are happy people. And now they're coming back again to gain wisdom. There is a gain here. It's not a loss. There is a gain. So there is a gain. There is enjoying in what you eat. And also there is wealth coming with it. You gain wisdom when you read the Word of God. These are the two impacts of having heard the Word of God.
I just have a quick question. Spirit me while I'm trying to articulate this, but sometimes when we're at Spruce Lake or a conference or Grove City or something, I feel it's easy for us to delve into the Word and to really enjoy it with all our brothers and sisters around, and just being here united in one mind, I guess, and we all have a desire to be in the Word, and that's why we're here. And I feel that in a conference setting it's a bit easier, but I feel, and I've heard, and I've personally experienced, that when I'm at home, I don't think we can make the generalization that if you read the Word you're good. Like just being in the Word, as long as you're in the Word you're going to be good, because I've personally had the experience where I try to read and I've read this before, and I've heard it all before, and I understand it, but it just doesn't get to me sometimes, and it's hard to take that and put it into my life, and I confess that I struggle with that sometimes, and just if a brother could elaborate on that, because I don't know if I'm the only one who struggles with that, but I don't think I am, so.
I think we could look at the first day as being comparable to something like this, a conference. All the people are together with a common goal. They're opening the Word, and it's when all the people are together, it's easy to open the Word of God and to enjoy it. It's a little easier when you're surrounded by people with like faith and just taking the Word of God and just enjoying it. I think day two is the challenge, because not all the people are back here. Now we see people with responsibilities. And I'm not just saying certain people can go back on day two. What I'm seeing here is now where it's more of a personalization of the Word of God. People are approaching Ezra. People are approaching as, I have this responsibility. What does the Word of God have to say to me for this? When I delve into the Word of God as an individual, I have to be looking for wisdom and understanding that I could take and I could apply and I could bring into my own life. Reading the Word of God, again, it can't be just approach, I'm going to read the Word of God just to get that great feeling every morning so I could be happy all day long. I want to approach the Word of God, like, how, where wisdom can I find to apply to my responsibility as an employee at wherever I work, or my responsibility as a parent or an uncle or an aunt, or my responsibility as a Sunday school teacher. I have responsibilities in life, both spiritually given and in the world. And the Word of God could give me something for all of that. And that's what I see happening on day two. And day two, I think, is the challenge for all of us, that once we leave here, once we leave the larger company of all believers coming together and enjoying the sound of the Word, now I have to be able to take this book, open it every day, and take something and apply it to my own life, to my own circumstances. Not just to read to read, not just to read to feel good, but to read to apply to my life. So not only do I get the benefit, but that those around me, both in the world and in the Christian company, can benefit from what I've gathered from the world, from the Word of God.
I think that there are some things that are transferable from the natural to the spiritual. Perhaps you might evaluate this on a personal level. If you tend to do very well in your academic studies, you may be a pretty good Bible student. And if you tend to struggle with academic studies, you may struggle also with reading the Scriptures. And I think the connection is this, that we can sit in a setting like this, and what we are, what we get here is bits and pieces of what is shared by many. And we put that together as a whole, and we enjoy that. But as an individual, I haven't really done much studying. I mean, if I just simply came, and I'm gathering, and those portions, we say, it's for us and for those that were not here. But the studying of the Scriptures is very much a methodical approach, very much like if I'm studying anything in school. If you look at your textbooks, your notebooks, I dare say if you're a good student, you have a lot of notes in your margins, you're circling, you're memorizing formulas in chemistry and physics. If it's history, you're going over the five or six important elements in this particular historical period. Very often committing a lot of that to memory. But even in your textbook, if someone said to you, well, what were those three principles again for whatever? You can say, well, I think that's page 42, and you've got those outlined. I think that our approach sometimes to the Word of God is too haphazard. When I was a teenager, I recognized this. You know, I'd come to a conference, and the conference was on the seven churches. I'm like, wow, this is great. And I start studying that. A week later in the local meeting, the brother's on the red heifer. I'm like, wow, this is better. And I go, and all of a sudden, you're all over the place. Well, in your own study, what you have to do is you have to say, you know, I want to take up the book of Nehemiah. And you have to go, you know, verse for verse. Sometimes you look at important words. And the study is slow. It's methodical. But it's going to be beneficial, because when you're finished, you have a good sense of what the Scriptures are speaking about. But I think that when I go home, I'm looking for the same kinds of bits and portions that come in a Bible study. And there others have done a lot of the work. Now when I go home, I've got to do the work. So time management, You know, if you, especially if you're in college and you've got, you know, 18 credits and all these different books you have to read, if you say, you know, I'm going to leave the reading until next week, well, then you find the other class has got 200 pages due the next day. So you've got to manage your time on a daily basis. When you get up in the morning, that's devotional time. Bible study may come at a different time of the day, but you've got to set aside time then to say, okay, what does this mean? He read in the book of the law of God distinctly. Well, maybe I've got a Strong's Concordance. I go and I find what that word means according to the Hebrew. I get a better sense. Then you go on. What does it mean it took portions back? So this is how I think you build. And the Word of God says that it's line upon line, precept upon precept. You're not going to get everything at the stage you are today. We didn't get it when we were your age. We got a little bit more, and we built on that. And there are those who are older than we are that certainly have much more. And we trust that as we dig out the things in the Scriptures consistently, then we will start to find that the consistency is there, because we then have an appetite. We then have the ability to sit down and study more than 10 or 15 minutes. And then our understanding of the Scriptures are opened as well.